And that song introduces our message for this afternoon. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. We've been looking at verses 8 through 10. And the title has been, "By Grace, Are You Saved?" By grace, are you saved? We are saved wholly, completely, as a result of the grace of God, through faith.
Amen.
Through faith. Not of ourselves. Faith is the gift given to us by God. That is, repentance and faith are given to us by God. So reading verses 8 and 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast." Not of works.
Amen.
Of man. Because I would boast, you would boast. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So, this afternoon, we're looking at, according to verse 10, the fact that salvation is the result of God's work.
Yes.
We're His workmanship. I'm not a workmanship of my own. You're not a workmanship of your own. You're His workmanship. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verse 10, Paul said it like this: in preceding verses, he said that he labored more diligently than all the rest of the apostles. He's not the least of the apostles because he was called to be an apostle, and because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, verse 10, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me." What is he stating here in that verse? He's stating that he was entirely, 100%, a workmanship of God. If he labored more abundantly than the rest of the apostles, it was only because God's grace working in him to do so. You see, There are some who might want to say, well, you know, I haven't labored very fervently in the Lord's work, and I'm kind of hit and miss and done this and that. The other. I guess it's just because God's grace wasn't working in me. Well, that's to charge God foolishly.
Right.
You see, we acknowledge God's grace, but we also acknowledge our responsibility.
Amen.
And our responsibility is to labor fervently for the Lord. And if we do, we have nothing whereof to boast in ourselves. It's only, we can only boast in the grace of God that enabled me to do it.
Yes.
You see. So we are His workmanship in salvation. God does everything. God does everything. We're His workmanship. We do absolutely nothing. In our natural condition before salvation, we lack the willpower to become a child of God.
Amen.
And we lack the ability. We didn't have no ability to. We've gone over this in the fact of grace. He said in the first part of this chapter, we were dead.
Amen.
In trespasses and sins. A dead man has no ability to do anything. And so we lacked any ability to do anything. And he goes on to tell us that we did the works of our father, Satan. We followed the prince of the power of the air. We lived according to his dictates. We were the children of disobedience. And we were the children of wrath. Always doing the desires and lusts and passions of our old sinful man. I shudder when I hear someone say, in essence, now God's done all He can do, the rest is up to you.
No.
No. If it's up to me, I never will. And you never will.
Amen.
But it's of His working. Psalms 110 and verse 3. It's in the day of His power we're made willing to come. So salvation is all of God. It's not ours. It's His. Not our good life, but it's His sinless life. Not our efforts, but His finished work. His finished work. We could even go back further, and we will as we get to the end of verse 10. But all this was foreordained. This was before ordained. Our salvation was before ordained of God, and we were before ordained of God to be saved and to walk in good works.
Amen. Amen.
Works that are pleasing to Him and His sight. The book of John, chapter 17. John, chapter 17, and Jesus praying His high priestly prayer here for those that were given unto Him. He said, in verse 4, He said, I have glorified Thee, the Father. I have glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished. Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Who is Jesus Christ? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Amen.
That's who Jesus Christ was. He was God. And he said, I finished the work which thou gavest me to do. In other words, he finished the work which he came here to do.
Amen.
Something those Pharisees and Sadducees couldn't lay hold of. Couldn't see that he was come from God. Even though his teaching and his works manifested that he was come from God.
Amen.
And so, your teaching and your good works should manifest that you are of God.
Amen.
You see, it's not enough to say that we're of God, but then it's to be backed up by our works. Jesus finished the work. We're on the subject of it's all of him. It's not what I did, it's what Jesus did. He finished the work. And so in the 19th chapter, in verse 30, Jesus spoke these words. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. I mean, it was complete. He had came and he had died for my sin. My sin. Your sin.
Amen.
He had died for the sins of his people.
Amen.
Matthew 1:21. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He said, in our verse, he says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. That is,
if you're saved, if you have life, if you have eternal life, it's a creation that is in Jesus Christ. It is in his finished work. It is faith in his finished work. 2:8-9. For by grace are ye saved through faith.
Amen.
And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. It is faith in the work, in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That we're created in Christ Jesus. The book of Colossians. Chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me, the Apostle Paul, the one whom the Holy Spirit of God moved upon to write this letter to the Colossians. I'll get the right chapter, the right book, the right chapter, and the right verse now. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Well, who's the Son? Well, Jesus Christ is the Son. The God who was made flesh, John 1:14, and dwelt among us, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. There's the created in Christ Jesus. It's faith in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not faith in what I did. It's not faith in what my mom did. It's not faith in what my dad did. It's faith in what the Lord Jesus Christ did.
Amen.
For me.
God. Have we got a hold of that? It's what God did for me. I can't understand. I don't understand why he did that for me. But I'm glad he did. Now that it's been made real unto me, now that it's been made manifest unto me, I'm glad he did. I don't understand why he did. I don't understand how he could love a wretch like me. I mean, I'm right there with Paul. I'm the chiefest of sinners. There's nothing good in me.
And if you be honest with yourself, there's nothing good in you.
Amen.
Ephesians, the book of Ephesians is chapter 4. In verse 24. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness.
You see, we're to put on Christ Jesus. We're to put on the new man. He said in the verses before that, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus.
He said in the verse preceding that, but ye have not so learned Christ.
The things that you as a saved individual, you as a church member, have learned about Christ has not been to sin. It's been to good works. It's been, I'm created in Christ Jesus. I'm to be manifesting that in my daily walk.
That Christ is living in me. We were, as our verse tells us, we were before ordained, before determined to walk in them.
I mean, when God didn't just save us as a fire escape from hell. That wasn't the purpose in Him choosing us before the foundation of the world unto salvation. The purpose of Him choosing us unto salvation was that we might bring forth good works to honor and glorify His name.
Colossians chapter 3. Verse 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. Do you get that? Do you get what the Holy Spirit is saying to us here?
Well, listen. If my salvation was of me, then I would be expected to manifest that it was of me. And I would. And you would too. And what's that? A life of sin.
Amen.
A life of sin. By Ephesians 2, 1 through 3, that's all we could do. That's all we could do.
But if we're created in Christ Jesus, then we can show forth the image of Him.
Amen.
And not of Seth born. You see, daily I'm to be showing forth His image. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all. Is Christ your all? Is Christ my all? Is Christ all? that you see? Is Christ all that I see in you? Well, it ought to be.
Amen.
It ought to be. That's what's being said here. We are a new creation. We're a new creature. We're a new man. Created in Christ Jesus. Think of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. He says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. What happened to the old manner of life? Well, it's to be abolished. It's to be behind us. And all things are become new. In other words,
there's to be, each day there's to be new things, new manifestations of Christ in my life. And there ought to be manifestations in the days ahead that haven't yet realized and manifested of Christ Jesus living in me. And you ought to be doing it as well.
In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 15, we read, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. You see, not the works of the flesh, but the works of a new creature. A new creature in Christ Jesus, a new creation in Christ Jesus. You see, are to be being manifest. We are partakers of the divine nature. The word partaker, which we find in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4 says, wherefore are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We are to be partners. We're to be sharers of the divine nature. The divine nature. I'm not to be in partner with the old nature any longer. I'm to be in partnership with the divine nature. I'm to be sharing in my life the divine nature, which is, as Ephesians 4:24 said, which is created in righteousness and true holiness. See, that's what we're to be manifesting and sharing forth in our life. You see, this is God's working. So many people, and I'm probably guilty of it too in the early years of my salvation. Thinking that, well, I got eternal life, I'm not going to hell now. You know, as if that was the only thing that mattered. That's not why we were saved. That's a benefit of our salvation. But verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 2 tells us why he saved us. You see, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. God saved us in order that we would do good works. Which works are to be seen? Matthew 5 and verse 16. Should I quote it? Let your light so shine before whom? Better turn there. That they may, what? See and glorify God your Father which is in heaven. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You see? That's why we were saved.
Yes. Amen.
That men might see our good works which are in Christ Jesus, and upon seeing them, glorify our Heavenly Father, which is in heaven. You see, what do they realize when they see your light? Well, they realize that what we're seeing when it's in Christ Jesus, when it's manifesting a new creature in Christ Jesus, what they're seeing is something that's not common to man. Something that's not ordinary to man. This man must be saved. This man must know the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he certainly is a testimony of it.
Yeah, amen.
In his life. See, that's what they're... And in so doing, they do what? They glorify God. For the work that he's done in your life. We're to be rich. Rich in good works. Being spoken to Timothy, it was concerning any rich among you. First Timothy chapter 6, in verse 18, he said, charge him that are rich. In verse 17, he said, charge him that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches. Don't glory in your riches. Don't trust in them, he said. But in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works. And that ought to be every child of God, whether they're rich in this world's goods or whether they're not. They ought to want to be rich in good works unto God.
Amen.
Don't you want to glorify God?
Amen.
Don't I want to glorify God? Well, the way we do that is by our good works, which are in Christ Jesus.
That is, that takes all motive for your doing it away. Sometimes we do things for motive, right? There's a reason why we do things sometimes. Well, I really don't want to go to church today, but what's so-and-so going to think if I don't go? I better go. Yeah? We go because we want to meet with the Lord. We want to sing praises to Him. We want to look into His Word. We want to hear what He has prepared for us through His man who stands in the pulpit and delivers it to us today. We want that fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ. Desire it. We long for it. You see?
That's a motive that is God-honoring. It's not for myself, but it's for the spiritual man. It's laying up treasures which are in heaven and not which are upon earth. We should be furnished, thoroughly furnished with good works. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 17, verse that we... read this morning. He said that the man of God, this is the reason for the Word of God being given to us to show us what's right, show us what's wrong, how to get right and how to stay right. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished. That is, complete, furnished perfectly unto good works. Don't you want to be that man? Don't I want to be that man? Nothing lacking. Nothing lacking. I think the Apostle Paul wanted to be that man. Boy, you read his account there in the book of Philippians in chapter 3, and he counted things of this world as dung. He put the past behind him. He wanted to know more of Christ. He wanted to have a greater partnership in the sufferings of Christ. And he's talking about even unto the death there. As Christ died, I'm going to give my life for him.
Amen.
And die for him in doing so. But we don't find many Christians, so-called today, that's their tenor of life, do we? We don't find many Christians today that are willing to die for the cause of Christ. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2 verse 14 tells us that we ought to be zealous of good works. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. What's that word zealous mean? It means burning with desire. An eagerness to desirous of good works. Are we burning with desire to do good works unto God, which are God-honoring, God-glorifying? In the third chapter, in verses 8 and 14, we're to maintain good works. We're to have a maintenance of good works. Well, now we know what it means to maintain something, don't we? We like to maintain our cars. We like to maintain our houses. Many things that we like to maintain, but we could care less about maintaining good works for the Lord. Look at verse 8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. These things are not only good and profitable for you, but they're good and profitable for other men. We need to get our heads out of the sand. We need to get our heads out of the muck. In the mire. Look at verse 14. And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. We got a lot of unfruitful Christians walking around because they're not maintaining good works. Oh, that we would maintain good works. We're to incite. Part of the reason of our not forsaking the assembly together is that we might incite one another unto love and to good works. Anybody tell me where that's found? Hebrews 10:24 tells us that we're to provoke, incite one another unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembly. You can't incite me. You can't incite Brother Ron unto good work, love and good works if you're not here.
Just the way it goes.
We're, that word inside, provoke, we're to be,
we're to be an irritation to them. I'm to be an irritant to you, to love and to good works. You're to be an irritant to me, to love and good works. That's stirring up.
To love and to good works. We are to walk in them. It doesn't do any good to say, oh, I know. I know that. I know that this or that is proper, but.
Boy, I've heard that a lot.
I've probably even said it a time or two. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 30. And look at verse 21. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand, and when ye turn to the left. Mm-hmm. Brethren, that's what we're to be.
We're to be that little voice behind one another says, this is the way. Walk in it.
Amen.
Oh, too far to the right. Oh, too far to the left. Just a humorous point. I didn't know you could go too far to the right. Can you go too far to the right? Strike that.
I just thought of that and had to say it. No. We're to walk in the straight path. Straight path, the Lord's path. And we're to be a little voice to one another doing that. At times I've tried to be that and I've gotten the, oh yeah, I know, but, you know, well,
I've gotten this one. Well, I have to do what I think is best for my family. You do? Does this sound good, brother?
Oh, yeah.
Sounds good, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Is it Bible?
No.
No. We got to do what God says is best for a family.
His way.
Yeah, we got to do His way.
His way. Not my way. Not your way. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. What do we read there? Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We're not to be walking in the oldness of life, the old path, the old way of life. We're to be walking in the paths which are new, the paths which are in Christ Jesus. We're to be walking as He walked, not as we used to walk. That's what we said in the waters of baptism. We said we died to that. And now we're resurrected in the newness of life. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. And if I walk in the Spirit, then what? Well, if you're walking in the Spirit, he says, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You can't do both. You can't do both. You can't walk fulfilling the lust of the flesh and be walking in the Spirit. And if you're walking in the Spirit, well, then you're not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. You see, they're contrary the one to the other. Ephesians chapter 5, we'll be getting to this probably in a couple of weeks, thinking of resuming our studies, beginning with chapter 5. Verse 2 says, and walk in love. Well, I do. I think it's better to love. Well,
you hear people, well, we got to love people. We got to love people. Well, yeah, but not the love of this world.
Amen.
The love that comes from God. The love that comes from God. The kind that makes us defer to them. Defer what is best for them. We
shut up our bowels of compassion many times.
Yes. And I'm guilty.
Yes.
And I know we get phone calls. We get encounter people all the time. You know, you got a food pantry. You got some money. Well, and in my growth, I said, well, I say to you like, you know, our church doesn't, but I say to you like Peter and John, silver and gold have I none. But what I have, that I give unto you. I'll share the gospel with you. When somebody's in severe need of physical food, what's sharing the gospel going to do to relieve their misery? Yes, we ought to share the gospel with them. But we ought to satisfy their hunger too. Hand we?
Yes.
We hand on to shut up our bowels of compassion. If we have the wherewithal, and haven't we learned in the book of Ephesians in chapter 4 that we get that we might share with others? That's why God blesses us. That's why God gives to us. Gives to us to satisfy our own need, but then in turn that we might help others too. And share with them.
Now I'm not promoting in any way, shape, or form that the church is to open its doors and say, come on in, we got free food for you.
Come on in, we got free food for you. The only thing we ask is that you listen to the preaching of the gospel. We could probably pack the building. We started doing that. It's not the ministry.
But at times we encounter people who have needs. And we can help with their needs on an individual basis. I, as pastor and member of Grace Baptist Church, can be more compassionate to those in the neighborhood. I thought the other day, a woman called and asked, "What time is your food pantry open?" My response was, "We don't have a food pantry. Sorry. Goodbye." I get off the phone and I think, why didn't I ask her? What do you have need of? She was obviously needing food. She wanted a food pantry. Why didn't I ask her? What do you have need of? Maybe I can help you out. Maybe I have staples here in the house that I could help you with. See, I believe the Lord pricked my conscience over that. And I need to be more quick to think of that. And I know some of it's a learned response. Well, we need to learn good responses. We need to be compassionate as the Lord Jesus Christ was compassionate. Amen. Well, how compassionate was he? Well, we've been walking through Matthew, haven't we? Following Jesus. How compassionate was he? He was compassionate to me. He was compassionate to you. We've seen on two occasions where people tarried at his teachings and his mighty works, which he did for 3 days, and having no food. And he was compassionate on them. And he fed them. You see, good works, love, as Christ hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. You see, we're his workmanship. That is, he saved us. Amen. On purpose. For a purpose. And that is that we might bring forth good works which honor and glorify him. All right. We'll close.